You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
So much conversation about the game Saturday. We've looked at it from many, many sides. We're looking forward to getting yet another perspective. Our friend Seth Emerson from The Athletic has been digging deep as well. Seth, great to have you on. So let's get right to it. Bama fans are optimistic. They don't come up. They don't have too many reasons to back it up. But as you study this game and look into everything that goes into it, we're curious your analysis.
You know, a couple schools of thought pop in my mind right away, Paul. Number one, which I've seen propagated by some Georgia fans, is that if you flipped the resumes, if this was Alabama that was number one and had demolished 11 straight opponents, and this was Georgia, meanwhile, that just came in skating by the way it did at Auburn and had, I think it's three other games that were decided by a possession or less, that Alabama would be wildly favored and favored by way more than seven. But I think it's fair. I mean, there's a you don't believe it until you see it kind of factor with Georgia and Alabama in that building. Or even like you want to take it back to the Georgia Dome in 2012. The other way I look at it, though, is that I think Alabama legitimately is the best team Georgia has faced to this point. And number one, they have the second best defense on paper that Georgia has faced after Clemson. And we know that Georgia's offense had its toughest game that week. But then they have one of the best offenses, maybe the best offense that Georgia has faced. So It definitely makes for a close game or something where you don't sit here and say, Georgia's going to easily run away with it. But I think it's also fair, considering the way Georgia has performed this year and the way Alabama has performed, to have Georgia as a very solid favorite.
Yeah, especially as you and others have pointed out, Seth, when you do the comparison shopping, Georgia's beaten some of the same teams that Alabama has beaten by considerably more. I just mentioned the Auburn game. That's not the only one. And I don't know how important all that is, but the team that Alabama just struggled to beat with a quarterback who was barely able to walk, Georgia won by 24 earlier in the season.
Arkansas, Florida, one more common opponent in there. But if you look at all the scores and if you add it up, actually, I think Alabama scored as many points against those opponents as Georgia did, but Georgia allowed way less points. And that's another, like you say, the comparison. Look, every week is different. Every opponent is different. But there's a trend there where Georgia has done much better against those common opponents. This isn't Georgia playing a team from the Big Ten or the Pac-12 with totally different schedules. There are, like we said, the Florida game was really nip and tuck. It was not for Georgia. Auburn, you mentioned. Arkansas is another. That's another point for Georgia to say, look, we should be more than a touchdown favorite in this game. We should have confidence. And frankly, Paul, I think Georgia needs that confidence. I think it sets up this way that if they're going to be able to beat Alabama this time, they have to go in with a confidence. I'm holding up one finger when I mean A. Okay. One, confidence. Number two, they need to go in loose and relaxed. And they should, because they're in. The pressure's not on them. The pressure's on Alabama to either win outright and get in or play so well to give the committee something to think about. But those are two big factors. And then a third one, motivation. Just because they're in the playoff doesn't mean that they're not going to try to win this game. the motivation is to finally beat Alabama and probably, and by the way, knock them out, get rid of them so you don't have to see them in the playoff at some point. So Georgia has all these things that should be lining up in their favor on Saturday.
You're plugged in to this program, obviously, and I'm curious, what type of messages do you think are being sent out this week in relation to Saturday?
You know, Paul, my experience with Kirby Smart is what we're hearing publicly is often different than what we're hearing behind the scenes. You find out, you know, for instance, that audio that snuck out of the halftime at the Florida game where he just wanted to physically break them, you know. He wasn't saying anything that gave off that kind of aura up front. So he could be behind the scenes saying a lot of these things, which is we have to beat these guys. We have to finally end this. We need to send them a lesson or send them a message. We have to teach them a lesson, et cetera, et cetera. Publicly, it's a big game, but it's just another game. Play your game. Do what you've been doing. And that's kind of the approach they're taking. I think Kirby definitely doesn't want them kind of tightening up. But, you know, the thing is, Paul, that like what people kind of haven't remembered is that Georgia was the underdog in all these games. 2012 SEC championship, 2017 national championship game, 2018 SEC championship, even 2020 last year, the regular season. Georgia was the underdog and had a lead, and they were doing well to have the lead. And then they blew it. So I'm not saying that Georgia needs to start from behind this time to you know, kind of reverse the curse or whatever. But the dynamic won't change until probably Nick Saban, if it gets to this point, sends in his second teamers and says, you know, that's it. I'm done. I don't have it. Or until the game ends. I mean, Georgia could have a 24-0 halftime lead or around here, 28-3 lead, and people would go, It's not over yet.
There's just so many narratives that you're right. We think we know, and I know you've written about this, that we really don't know. Booger McFarland was here a minute ago, and you know, he said this, and everybody else has been saying it since before the season. If not now, when? You've covered this team a while. This is clearly the best team they've had. May not have the same team next year. May not have the same opportunity mm-hmm. next year. So that all factors into it. But on the field, just in terms of matchups, Seth, mm-hmm. where does Georgia have the biggest advantage?
No doubt. Their front seven against Alabama's offensive line. And Nick Saban taught Kirby Smart that philosophy of build along the trenches. And for Kirby Smart to now take a Georgia team that has this dominant a front seven, it's not just Jordan Davis. He leads the way, but you got Devontae Wyatt, Trayvon Walker, N'Kobe Dean, those linebackers. For Kirby Smart to have this good a front seven against an Alabama offensive line that is certainly the weakest in recent memory for Alabama, that has an if not now when factor. Now, in the grand picture, I think you understand, most people understand that the way Georgia's recruiting, the window is not closing after this year. And Kirby Smart is going to turn 46 later this month. Nick Saban is 70. There's some runway here. It doesn't have to be this game. And you know what? If they lose this game, they might get another shot at him in the Cotton or the championship. But that is the area, Paul, where I would, for one thing, I would be shocked if Alabama can run the ball. If Alabama can run the ball on Georgia on Saturday, all bets are off. Georgia's in trouble because nobody's been able to run the ball on Georgia. If Alabama can't run the ball or can't do it, can't sustain it, and they have to be one-dimensional, that plays right into the formula that Georgia's defense has had all year. Opponents can't run on them. They're allowed to have a numbers advantage in the back where they can mix up their coverages and they can tee off, have a blitz here or there, but they don't have to rush more than three or four guys every play. And that's the formula. And if Georgia's able to play that formula defensively on Saturday, they're going to be in good shape.
I'm curious from your sources over there, what was the Georgia takeaway after watching Alabama struggle and nearly blow the Auburn game?
They probably, I don't know. It depends on your thinking there. I think you put that together with the other games they've seen, whether it's Florida, Arkansas, Auburn, and say they have on tape ways to beat Alabama, ways to attack Alabama. If you're on the other side, if you're Alabama, what do you have on Georgia? What has anybody done that shows us a path? The Clemson game is the closest. That was a long time ago. JT Daniels was the quarterback and Stetson Bennett was not. And by the way, Georgia's offense was better than people think. They did outgain Clemson in that game. They were, I think, inside the five when the game ended. So they, if they wanted to, they could have made it 17-3, which doesn't sound that much more impressive than 10-3, but you get the point. But it, what is the path? If Alabama does win this game in a non-fluky kind of way, turnovers and whatever, but if Alabama wins this game, it's just a hell of a coaching job by Nick Saban, because you don't have a film right now to say this is how you beat Georgia, whereas Georgia has that. They have the Auburn game, they have the Florida game, they have Arkansas, they have some others where other teams have been able to do some things effectively.
So many opportunities.
Texas for A&M too.
Yeah.
You know, the one that they actually lost.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it wasn't a common opponent for them.
It is, in terms of Kirby Smart, I'm curious, as successful as he's been, and I know that he's been rewarded many, many times, but away from the field with all these contracts ballooning out of control, is there a mechanism that kicks him up when all this is over?
I don't think there's anything that's automatic in his contract, but he's signed through 2024 at around $7 million. I'm pretty confident that Jimmy Sexton and Georgia's administration are going to be having an off-season conversation. The increase in that salary will depend heavily on how the next month goes. But, you know, the thing with Kirby Smart is I don't think he will care so much about his own salary. Not that Georgia can lowball him, but he'll want them to continue to do the things that have put Georgia in this position. The kind of things that, frankly, Mark Richt didn't get. Kirby Smart has gotten assistant coaches' salaries, facilities, the money to pay for this army of recruiting staffers, but also other staffers to help break down film and prepare for games like this. And as long as Georgia keeps giving Kirby that, he's going to be happy.
We will see you tomorrow in Atlanta. Seth, thanks so much. Great to have you on. Seth Emerson joining us with a really insightful look at this weekend.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we're back, and let's get some more phone reaction. TJ is up next in Georgia. Hello, TJ.
Hey, Paul. I just want to say thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
First off, to Larry in Alabama, Larry the mumbling drunk is how I'm going to, talk to him, because, you know, he needs to just keep on drinking and keep on dreaming, because Bama struggled all year, and my dogs are going to bring it. They're going to bring reality to the Alabama fans because Georgia's on top and we ain't going nowhere. And, you know, we're going to crush their faces with a hot nail boot.
Thanks very much, TJ. Can't wait. I-Man, first time we've heard from him all week. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking the call. I thought I'd sit back and listen to the tone and tenor of this show. I mean, Monday morning you came on the air and said, oh, that's the greatest comeback I've ever seen in my whole life. I'm talking about the Alabama comeback,
yeah,
of course.
I remember that. That was exciting.
In your whole life, the greatest
whole
comeback
life.
Ever?
My whole life and eight other lives.
And that's the greatest game you've ever seen, and you've had a personal pass to country games all over the country. Do you realize the 6-5 beat up Auburn Tigers took 7 years of blue chip top five recruiting classes and pushed their ass around? And that's how come you got the call from Larry like you did. The Auburn Tigers are still pushing them around. And you know there's nothing like going to an SEC officiating.
Right. Hold on, you're right about that, and they're still 6-6.
And they're still 6-6. And you know there's nothing like going to an SEC official convention and a football game almost breaking out. But we won't talk about that because we've been talking about that for a long time. But I do find it interesting that that's the great – and then you just told the guy from The Athletic they almost blew it. Talking about Bama, of course. So it's the greatest thing you've ever seen.
I fully expected you to call up today talking about your offensive coordinator being fired after 1 year, your head coach.
That's what you wanted me to say. But see, I'm not you,
I'm not your production puppet. I really don't care what you say here. This is not a big deal in terms of your
I'm not
call.
Your production puppet, Paul Feinbaum. I'm a grown man like you. Oh. I mean, and then y'all go sit there and say, don't let your lying eyes deceive you from what you're seeing on TV. Is that correct?
I mean, repeat after me, okay? We blew it against Alabama. Not a 10-0
lead. Alabama blew it. Alabama blew it. They let... They led
All we
a
needed was Tank Bisbee,
rebuild,
Bisbee running
and,
out of bounds. All we needed was our coach after that
See,
to go
those
for
are,
two.
Those are all,
that's all you, that's
those
all you
are
need
all
to say,
pundit.
Man. And
wait a minute, Paul. Wait a minute.
I want to be like everybody else.
Why don't you calm down and let me speak? I called you. Why don't you let me speak? Those are all pundits that have nothing invested. They're all sitting there after the fact, backseat driving, making those comments. Not one of them coach a damn thing. They weren't out there on that field. Auburn Tigers pushed the Crimson Tide all over the place more than they could stand, and they were one play better. That's it. One play against a 6-5 football team. Georgia's going to kick the living hell out of them, and there ain't nothing they can do about it. War dogs.
It took Iman a while to finally get to the punchline, but he did. Dwayne is up next. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
First time caller, long time listener. I enjoyed that last one you just talked to, Iron Man. But anyway, yeah, I just I think it's going to be a blowout. I mean, it's like you said earlier in the program, you know, why don't Alabama fans just admit, hey, we've got the better team this year, you know? You just can't keep winning. I mean, I believe when I beat them so bad, unless Kirby pulls the gas off, it'd be a lot of probably.
Kirby Smart is driving into this game without any brakes. He's not taking the gas off.
That's right. You know, he ain't no slow up none. You know, and I just wanted to see what you thought. Hey, I'm giving it a 45-14 score. What do you think?
So you got Georgia winning or Alabama?
Yeah.
Georgia winning? I can't know. I've never seen Alabama lose 45-14.
Well, hey, look.
Well, they did lose by 28 to Clemson a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, anyway, you know, that's just I just hope it's going to be a beatdown this year. I mean, we waited for it a long time.
Well, Dwayne, you are a Georgia fan living in Alabama. Is that right?
Well, yeah, so I just moved to Alabama a couple of years ago down here by the creek. I live down here in a cotton field.
In a cotton
Beautiful.
Field? Alabama has cotton fields? Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Okay.
We loaded with cotton fields down here. It's beautiful.
No. Yeah. Well, thanks for the travel guide. Jerry is up next. Hello, Jerry. I didn't hear Jerry. We'll try Jerry again. Drew is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well.
It was good to hear from Booger today.
He is great.
Yeah, and hadn't got to talk to you since your buddy died.
Thank you.
But he will long be remembered.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. We'll do it again next week, but I was talking to some family members in Tuscaloosa today, and I know many have inquired that the Cecil Hurt service is going to be next Wednesday at 1 p.m. In Tuscaloosa. I'll get some more details when we get through the schedule.
Well, I made many a trip to Tuscaloosa. In fact, I've seen him many a time coming out of the elevators after the game in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's really hit a lot of people. It's been a week and a half, and it's still something that a lot of folks are struggling with.
Well, now, a lot of people in Mississippi are talking. In fact, I went to the game Saturday in Iron Bowl, and when we started losing and couldn't come, looked like we wasn't coming back, people started hollering, Deion Sanders, head coach, Alabama.
Well, he's already got the Affleck deal, so that wouldn't be hard.
Well, how many times have you seen him?
I'm a huge fan of Deion. I'm a little surprised that he hasn't gotten more offers, but I think ultimately he will. He's pretty serious. He's had a good year. Thank you for the call. Thank you very, very much. Chris is up next in Raleigh. Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. What was your you advised me not to go to the South Carolina Clemson game, and I took that advice.
I was wrong about that. You should have gone.
What's the lessons learned from that? That surprised me.
Yeah, I really believe that the game. I frankly thought Clemson would win, but I thought it would be competitive. That was a shocking end to the season for South Carolina.
Yeah, it seemed like it might have been just better players on defense versus, you know, better players usually out for
good
coaching.
Yeah, but this South Carolina team has figured out some way. But, yeah, in the end, you're right. I think we underrated the Clemson defense. They were still really good. But I'll give Dabo Swinney much credit for – finding a way to end up with a pretty good season after the bottom fell out early on.
Yeah, after our tire, one of my trips is to go down and see Cat Daddy and meet him. But, assuming Georgia beats Alabama, and that hadn't happened yet, who do you think the four in the playoffs will be?
Yeah, I don't expect a lot of change. I think Oklahoma State would be the most likely to get in, assuming Michigan and Cincinnati win.
Yeah, it's going to be it's an interesting year.
Characters like Mike Gundy and Jim Harbaugh in the playoffs? That would be pretty crazy. We are up against the break. We still have some more guests. We've had a busy show with Booger McFarland and your Seth Emerson there. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy.
It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, there's another opening in college football. Bronco Mendenhall announced he is stepping down at Virginia. No explanation whatsoever. No quotes from Bronco Mendenhall in the official announcement. These things sound like it happened suddenly. Let's get some more reaction to everything else as Legend starts off this half hour. Hello, Legend.
What's going on, Mouth of the South?
We are doing well.
How you doing, man?
Legend, getting ready to gas up the bike for Atlanta, and can't wait to get there.
Yeah, I heard you said that Kirby was driving, and he didn't have no brakes, Paul.
No brakes.
But the problem is, he's got a midget at the wheel. He's got to have a booster seat, Paul. He needs a booster seat so he can see. One of those sticks to reach down and touch the pedals, baby. Hey, Paul. Our man done retired from witness protection, hasn't he?
Yeah, he 4 days later, and he's talking about how he beat you guys.
Yeah, I thought he moved to Arizona and became Albert Einstein. I didn't know, you know. Here's something for you, Iron Man. And Paul, you know there's a difference because you got Iron Man and Mini Iron Man, the rodent, the snuff-dipping rodent. So I'm talking to Iron Man, the bigger one. Here's the thing, Iron Man. You lost, dumbass. You lost. You coast choked. I tell you what the greatest moment in college football this season is. Seeing Coach Hairline walk off the field crying. Why did he go out of bounds? Why did he go out of bounds? Greatest moment this year in college football, you dumbass. You lost. Shut the hell up. Now, Paul, you got grown men coming on this show calling folks from Alabama redneck, barking like a dog. Do you or don't you?
Yeah, yes, we do. Yeah, we 100% true, everything you said there.
Well, this is what I want to tell them Georgia fans. I might be redneck, white trash, and blue collar, but I could change all that if I had a couple million dollars. Shut the hell up. You sound like old Yeller with the mange. You ain't won nothing, Georgia. The last time you won a national championship, Dolly Parton didn't need a pull-up bra. Shut the hell up. You ain't won a damn thing. Win something, then celebrate. Because you ain't done nothing. Nothing. Shut the hell up before I get the pimp pan out and start pimp-slapping you old Yellers up in here. And, Paul, you asked Larry, why could Alabama beat Georgia? Well, I'll give you a reason. Will Anderson Jr. I don't know about you, but I've watched enough football to see defensive ends and outside linebackers take over a game. I go old school on you. Wilbur Marshall, Hugh Green, baby. Ernest Taylor. Come on, man. Will Anderson Jr. can get at that midget to the point that it changes that whole game. I'm going to tell you another reason. They don't have a running back as good as Gurley. He couldn't do it. They don't have a wide receiver as good as Hardman. He couldn't do it. They don't have a quarterback better than Fromm. He couldn't do it. They don't have a linebacker better than Rohan Smith. He couldn't do it. What the hell do I want to think that this dog can do it? You ain't doing it either, baby, because in the corner, it's an 18-time world champion, and they told us you're the champ, but we got the belt. We're fixing to get at that dog ass. Get ready. And here's the thing I want to tell Banyan or Shannon or whatever the hell his name is from Georgia. The Greeks had a name for a dude like you, dumbass. You know what that was? Moron. Celebrate all you want. You ain't going to see a championship. I'm the king. I'm going to be the king. And that's the way it is. Kiss it, Georgia. Legend out.
Okay. Legend laid down some smack there, didn't he? Jody is in Savannah, Georgia. Hello, Jody.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Let me open it by saying this, Mr. Paul, that you are the Atlas of college football.
Well, thank you.
You're quite welcome, sir. I was going to leave this to one topic, but I want to leave it brief. This topic is for Larry and Legend. They need to change the photographs that y'all show up on the screen, because I got a picture of both of them in my medicine cabinet. And that picture is a picture of a skull on an iodine bottle.
I hear you. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
Well, Merry Christmas, Paul. I don't know if I'll ever get to talk to you again. Sometimes it's hard for me to get on the show. I don't know why. Yeah, I know why, Paul. I know why. Believe me, I know why. But still, I am your number one famous guy, am I not?
You are. You're page 54.
Well, you mistreated your pet, Cottle Man. I couldn't believe you got all, is he going to have to eat outside tonight, or you're going to speed him outside, or what you talking about? I'm I puppy.
Yeah, I puppy was a little bit late and a little bit long-winded.
Yeah. Well, what's new, Paul? What's new?
Nothing. now, Jim, I'm curious, because you're a football I know you don't talk ball anymore, but you're a football guy. What do you make out of all this back and forth about the game Saturday?
Well, since you asked me, I'll just tell you this. You know as well as I do. It's a down year for them. And the down year is the fact of all the coaches that are dumbasses. That's what they are, both sides of the ball. Not Nick, but the two he finally – the well ran dry, Paul, and that's a fact. You know that. And also, you got so many injuries. And still, like you said, never seen anything like the minute and 30 seconds of the day. Never seen anything to equal it. Joe Montana, come on, baby. You can't do that. You never did that. I never seen anything like it.
No, I was belittling my analysis, but it's the best 2-minute drive I've ever seen.
Well, you know it is. I mean, let's face it. It took a genius to figure that out. A blind man can figure that out. It was the best it's ever been. I think it's the best it's ever been. I mean, you had to have it. What are you going to say? You had to have it.
Yeah, when you can't make a single mistake. Yeah, I mean, the margin of error is zero.
Yeah, it was incredible. And how about number seven? And he's a third teamer, number seven, Mr. Brooks.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day and said,
who was that guy? Where's he been?
Who was it? Yeah, exactly. I mean, the guy, you know, if you lose Winston, what's his name? Jameson? Williams. Williams.
Jameson Williams, yes. Williams.
If you lose him, well, you got Brooks. I mean, if you got – what do you need? I mean, I'll tell you how – well, I can't talk about – boy, I can tell you how to win that game, though. I'm telling you, I know how they can win
okay,
that
okay,
game.
Okay, Jim, other – a quick question here before we go. Other than firing the two coordinators, what's the key to victory?
Throwing the ball, Paul, and on the edges. Nothing up the middle. That's all I can say.
Well done.
You agree? Thank you, Paul.
I think
Paul.
That's a good plan. I'm going to make sure that – Bill O'Brien gets that tonight.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's wrong with grown men barking like dogs? I mean, there's 90,000 in Athens every Saturday, Legend. Let me ask you a question about Legend. he's got as many life stories as Forrest Gump. I mean, I think a month ago he was on the radio talking about how he grew up with the Baltimore Colts and blah, 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 blah. And now he's from Alabama. Are you a Yankee legend or are you a redneck? Because I can't tell. And you sound like Dusty Rhodes. So, you know, I don't know. He just goes on and on and on and on. All I'm telling you, legend, is just come to the Mercedes, ask for the red dog, and I'll take a picture after I hit you square in the eye, and we'll put it up on the Fine Bomb show every time you call. I'm not going to pick on Larry. I love Larry from Shelby. He's a great guy, even though he called me lap dog.
Yeah, he was not kind today.
I like Larry. Larry called left me a voicemail one time, and he could be a comedian. That guy is hilarious. He's funny. I mean, he truly is funny. But it's going to happen Saturday. And, hey, legend, what you going to do when the dogs
Red Dog,
destroy you?
Quick question. Yeah. I'm trying to remember how many times Alabama's played. Three times since we've been talking.
Yeah.
What's your record in predicting those three games?
0-3.
Okay.
But I'm going to be 1-3 come Monday, Paul. 1-3.
So why do you think this is going to be any different?
In all honesty, Paul, we've never walked into the Georgia-Alabama game better than Alabama. And our coaching staff,
that's true.
That's the biggest difference in my eyes is the coaching staff.
Okay.
Alabama's gotten robbed every year of coaches. Great coaches have come from there, Kirby, Lane, and so on. And Golden and O'Brien just aren't that good. And then at Georgia, you have Muschamp, you have Matt Luke, you have Lanning, and you have Munkin. You've got just great coaches, and I just think we're developing the talent like Saban has for years. And I think after Alabama loses on Saturday, those Golden will be gone, and he'll try to get Pruitt back. That's just my opinion.
Well, no,
I think
you're right about Pruitt. Pruitt has sent some feelers out there in coaching, but I think the real question is Pruitt hireable?
I think under Saban he is, because Saban knows how to keep him in check.
I don't know whether even Nick Saban can rehabilitate Jeremy Pruitt.
But he's with the New York Giants right now, isn't he?
Yeah, but the NCAA regulations don't exactly apply to the NFL.
Oh, so there were other things. Okay, I got you. I did not know that. But I think regardless if he gets – whether he gets Pruitt, I think he'll bring in a big name defensive coordinator-wise. I mean, Saban just – I mean, he's it's just called up to him. It's nothing. I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches ever. There's no doubt about it. It's just, you know, this year it's a down year. Alabama's still got the talent. It's just there's so many pieces and parts, and Saban can't coach every kid on that field, you know?
That's true. Hey, thanks for the call. Cat Daddy is up next. Cat Daddy, you there?
Yeah, Big Paul, are you looking good, sounding good? I got a question for you. First of all, did Red Dog just say that Will Muschamp was an excellent coach?
Yeah, it was the first coach he mentioned on the Georgia staff.
Yeah, I thought so. And Paul, legend down there is all wound up. But I'm going to tell you, I told you this before, Alabama almost lost to Auburn because I don't think Alabama practiced for Auburn. They have been practicing for Georgia for the last 2 weeks. Now, with that said, do you think with Notre Dame losing their head coach that they'll finally join the ACC?
No.
What do you think they'll do?
I think they'll keep being Notre Dame.
Stay independent. Well, God bless you, Big Paul. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you very much. I did not exactly finish that sentence about keep being Notre Dame, but it's obvious. Mary is in Birmingham. Hello, Mary.
Oh, Paul, thank you so much for taking my call.
I've been the
only level-headed Alabama fan. Logically speaking, Georgia has the better team this year. Now, I am a true Alabama fan, but I'm realistic. I love Bryce Young, and I love Will Anderson, but they are only two people. And again, Georgia just has a stronger defense. They have a better, they have just a whole lot better team this year than we do. So I just want to say I am proud of them coming back. The game with Auburn was a shock. I watched it for four quarters, and I didn't think we could do it, but we did. And again, that was a miracle. So I don't know. I just don't think there's another miracle in the back pocket. So I just wanted to go on record and say, go Georgia, but this may be the only year I say go Dawgs. Okay?
Thank you, Barry. Yeah, you just don't know what kind of deal Alabama made to win that game. We are closing in on the final hour. It's been quite an entertaining show. Again, a reminder, tomorrow the entire show live from Atlanta. We will have the commissioner on. We'll have experts from every imaginable perspective. Jeff Foxworthy, the comedian, will also join us. We are coming back with much, much more.